Morning.
Yeah, there is a pop quiz, by the way. Maybe I will do it at the end, you know. Yeah, during our first service, Steve stumbled a little bit, you know. So I hope that's not contagious.
It is.
It is? Okay, all right. When you think of Thanksgiving, what comes into your mind? Is it just another holiday? Is it another day of fun and relaxation? Is it another opportunity for family gatherings? It is definitely another feast. What do you usually have for Thanksgiving? Is it turkey with dressing, gravy, and cranberry sauce? Or is it baked ham with glaze, pineapple? Or is it roast beef with Yorkshire pudding, horseradishes, and mashed potatoes? What kind of dessert do you usually eat? Is it pumpkin pie with a dab of whipped cream? Or is it traditional apple pie with melted cheese? I better stop here before I go too far and fill your minds with food for the body, but not food for the soul. Let me give you a little bit of history and origin of the Canadian Thanksgiving. In Canada, Thanksgiving is celebrated on the second Monday in October. Unlike the American tradition of remembering pilgrims and settling in the New World, Canadians give thanks for a successful harvest. The harvest season falls earlier in Canada compared to the United States due to the simple fact that Canada is further north. The history of Thanksgiving in Canada goes back to an English explorer, Martin Frobisher, who had been trying to find a northern passage to the Orient. He did not succeed, but he did establish a settlement in North America. In the year 1578, he held a formal ceremony in what is now called Newfoundland to give thanks for surviving the long journey. This is considered the first Canadian Thanksgiving. Other settlers arrived and continued these ceremonies. He was later knighted and had an inlet of the Atlantic Ocean in northern Canada named after him, the Frobisher Bay. At the same time, French settlers, having crossed the ocean and arrived in Canada with explorer Samuel de Champlain, also held huge feasts of thanks. They even formed the Order of the Good Cheer and gladly shared their food with their Indian neighbors. After the Seven Years' War ended in 1763, the citizens of Halifax held a special day of Thanksgiving. During the American Revolution, the Americans who remained loyal to England moved to Canada, where they brought the customs and the practices of the American Thanksgiving to Canada. There are many similarities between the two Thanksgiving, such as the cornucopia and the pumpkin pie. Eventually, in 1879, Parliament declared November 6th a day of Thanksgiving and a national holiday. Over the years, many dates were used for Thanksgiving. The most popular was the third Monday in October. After World War I, both Armistice Day and Thanksgiving were celebrated on the Monday of the week in which November 11 occurred. 10 years later, in 1931, the 2 days became separate holidays and Armistice Day was renamed Remembrance Day. Finally, on January 31st, 1957, Parliament proclaimed a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. to be observed on the second Monday in October. So you will pay attention, you will have no problem passing the pop quiz at the end, okay? There are many songs and hymns with the Thanksgiving theme. I would like to share with you two selections. The first song is a short one entitled Give Thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks for He has given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. The second song that I would like to share with you is Thank You, Lord. We usually sing the chorus only. Some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercies sure and sweet. But I would praise Him for His grace. In prayer, I would repeat, Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Some thank Him for the flowers that grow, some for the stars that shine. My heart is filled with joy and praise because I know He's mine. I trust in Him from day to day. I prove His saving grace. I will sing this song of praise to Him until I see His face. So from the history and origin of Canadian Thanksgiving and the two spiritual songs, it is quite clear that the object of our Thanksgiving is the triune God who manifests in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What should we thank God for? There are many things that we can thank God for, but I would like to concentrate on seven things that are related to God and start with the letter P. Today's sermon is entitled P7 Thanksgiving. P7 stands for praise, patience, permanence, protection, peace, power, and promise. Praise. God is holy. We are sinners by nature and practice. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The result of our sin is death. Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And also Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. The destiny of the sinner is everlasting punishment. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We are separated from God and we became slaves to sin. In order to free us from being slaves to sin, a price must be paid and a ransom must be exacted. Christ redeemed us by dying on the cross to pay for the penalty of our sins. The price of our freedom from sin is His life. Without the ransom, you and I wouldn't be here now, and our lives are most miserable. Redemption is always part of God's plan. The Lord is our shepherd, and we are His sheep. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And also John 10:15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. We are redeemed by the sacrificial death of the perfect Lamb of God. Titus 2:14. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, the zealous of good works. We are redeemed by the cleansing power of Christ's precious blood. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that you will not redeem with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Apostle Paul reminded us of the price that was paid to secure our freedom and salvation. 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And also in 1 Corinthians 7:23, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." The second one is patience. Most people don't have patience. Living in today's society, we demand fast food, rapid service, quick solution, and instant gratification. Even Christians don't have patience waiting for God's answer to our prayers. However, the God whom we believe is a God of patience. Romans 15:5. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus." Another word for patience is long-suffering. God was very patient in Noah's time. It took approximately 100 years for Noah to build the ark, and the people had that amount of time to repent of their sins. But only 8 people were saved, and they were all Noah's family. 1 Peter 3:20, "which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, where in few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water." We should be thankful that God is patient now. Otherwise, we would not be saved, and there might not be opportunities for our loved one to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Permanence. God is self-existent. He always exists from eternity past to eternity future. God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything or anyone to keep him occupied and happy. God is all-powerful, that he can do anything, all things. That's why the scriptures say there's nothing impossible unto him. God is perfect. He cannot learn and he cannot change. This is exactly his declaration in the Bible. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." His permanence or immutability was the tenet of the early Christians. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Because of the unchangeableness of Christ, we can depend on him even though the circumstances of life are always changing around us. 1 Corinthians 10:4, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Our salvation is assured, for Christ remains the same. His love toward us is the same. His redeeming work on the cross of Calvary is the same. His promises are the same. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." Protection. We are protected from all sides. We are protected from below. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. "The eternal God is thy refuge, And underneath are the everlasting arm. We are protected from above. Romans 8:34, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We are protected from all around. Psalm 125, verse 2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. Since God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and present everywhere, we are assured of our safe protection from all harms. Psalm 91, verse 1 to 7. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. God does not only safeguard our existence, but he is right there guiding us. Psalm 139, verse 5, thou hast beset behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Peace. The Bible is full of prophecies. The prophecy of the coming of the Messiah was recorded in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace because we can have peace with God through him. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just have peace with God. We can have peace of God. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The peace of God should be encompassing, encouraging, and enrapturing in our daily walk with the Lord. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Power. The power of God was demonstrated in creation. He created something out of nothing. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The power of God is demonstrated in sustaining. He upholds the universe together by the word of his power. If Christ, Son of God, is going to let go of his sustaining power, the whole universe will fall apart and disintegrate. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. God, who has sundry times and diverse manner, spake in time past unto the fathers unto by the prophets, hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God is sovereign. God is supreme in power. In today's jargon, God is running the show. Job 36, verse 22. Behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him? The power of God is manifested through the gospel, and our faith should stand on it. To the world, the gospel may seem foolish, but to us, it is the demonstration of God's power. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Promise. God's promises always come true. We are Christians. We as Christians have to learn to grab hold of God's precious promise, regardless of the circumstances of life. These promises will give us hope, and these promises will give us joy, and these promises will give us strength, and these promises will give us peace. Christ promised to give us eternal life. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And Christ promised to give us rest. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. Christ promised to be always with us. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Christ promised to prepare a place for us, and come to take us home. John 14:2-3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. To a Christian, Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. Thanksgiving should be a characteristic that we have. Thanksgiving should be a trait that we cultivate. Thanksgiving should be an attitude that we develop. After all, the scripture admonishes us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. In my early days as a Christian, the following spiritual song touched me. It's entitled, Thanks to God. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for present balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and stormy fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou does supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside, thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow, thanks through all eternity. Anybody can celebrate Thanksgiving, but only Christian can celebrate P7 Thanksgiving. Are you a Christian? Do you have a relationship with Christ Jesus? Have you repented of your sins? Have you admitted that Jesus came to die for your sin on the cross of Calvary? Have you claimed him as your personal Savior? Have you acknowledged him as the Lord of your life? Why don't you make the most important decision in your life right now and join the rest of us in celebrating the P7 Thanksgiving? In closing, I would like to read more from the inerrant, inspired, and indispensable words of God. Leviticus 22, verse 29. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Nehemiah 12, 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singings, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Jonah 2:9. And I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. If the message sound familiar to you, because I have preached it a few times before, the pop quiz is, other than Matthew, Matt, when was the first time I preached this message? But that's a three other occasions I preached this one. Okay, the first time I preached is 2010. When was the next time I preached that one? I see the shrug of shoulder. 2012. When was the last time I preached this sermon?
2018.
No, 2016.
The last time you just did.
Oh, yeah. It will be the last time, yeah. No, the last time I did it was 2016. So thank you I'd like to thank you all for putting up with me and all these years. And I'm glad that God used me to share what he had laid upon my heart. Every occasion that I am up here to share with you. Okay, Steve, can I ask you to close in prayer first? And we will sing hymn 431. In the red hymnal, okay? 431.
Father, we are so thankful to be here this morning and to be reminded of all of thy graces that thou hast bestowed upon us in the form of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be mindful that everything that we have, that everything that we are blessed with, has come from thine own very hand. For we give thee thanks in his lovely name and ask thee, Lord, to again be with us this afternoon and tomorrow as we celebrate this holiday called Thanksgiving, and always to have him seated at the head of our table. For we ask it in his name as we give thee thanks.
Amen.